Scotty's Symphony.
Hello, it's me, Oliver Morris. I'm the producer of The Lightning Bottler. I'm the creator of this show. Look, you like creators, right? They create things. They go in your ear holes. And then they make you feel emotions. Well, if you want to support more creators, sign up to Apollo through the Apollo Podcast app or by going to apollopods.com. You can support other creators as well, such as Tonya Ransom, Tim Krause, or Jordan Cobb. You'd also get bang for your buck with early access, exclusives, behind the scenes, that kind of thing. So, no-brainer, go do it. Time for some show.
Oh, ye now, it's the Lightning Bottler coming over to bottle some more lightning. Who knows what's going to go on in this one. Probably some boy mulching. Don't ask what boy mulching is. You already know the answer, and you don't really want to know that you know. But boys get mulched every day. For all sorts of reasons and causes and purposes. And so we're going to sit today and listen to a story about some boy mulchers, boy smoothies, and boys in general. He drank his coffee black, like it's hard. He paced around his office. He grabbed his tape recorder and began his great hypothesis.
I always think about me, and I hope that they do too. Taking my views into account before they choose the option that most fucks me over. But do they ever dig deep? Deeper into what I mean, what I say, what I mean to say I mean. Am I mean? Or just median? The centre of the whole? Or just a hole in a sheet of paper? So let's start with a subject. A test. An option to begin our experiments. Does anyone feel the way I feel? Love the way I love? Hate the way I hate? Am I too harsh? Or not harsh enough? Am I too easy to be breezy? Difficulties arise. This shit is difficult.
Perhaps, sir, if I may offer a suggestion. Let's build a boy and make him speak, and then we'll dissect his wonderful brain. Because how can you fix anything while inside the burning house?
Build a boy, you say? What a novel idea. No moment to waste. Let's cut to the point. Build that boy. You get the picture.
Test 1. Begin.
First, we must build the boy. Give him scrapes on his knees. Give him trees to climb, give him beans to eat, and cans to kick, and bees to bother, and hearts to break, or ache.
Give him limbs that grow out exponentially, until he is gruff and monosyllabic, until he stays in his room all day, until he emerges fully formed. And if we don't like this boy, we can throw him away.
Throw him away?
None of him will go to waste.
Very well. Let's try this out. So now we have the boy. Let him speak his truth.
All right?
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, that's good. Do you play League or Dota?
No.
Oh, shit. It's a gamer. Well, we tried. And we can try again. But before we pulp this boy, we'll see if we can get some sense out of him.
Do you feel happy?
What do you mean?
Do you feel sad?
What does it mean to feel happy?
Good vibes, you know? No bad vibes.
Right.
Is to feel good, or bad, or appropriately sad, or any combination of the above?
Oh, I see.
Like when you shoot the winning goal into the back of the net on a warm summer's day.
Oh yeah, like that look of anguish in the goalie's face.
But, oh, well, that's not, that's more like Schadenfreude.
What? What's that?
That's when you take pleasure in the misfortune of others.
And they're not allowed?
No, there's nothing banning it. It's just, I don't know, in poor taste?
Pulp this one. It's getting revealing.
Into the blender goes the body. And into the jar goes the brain. Never to feel another thing. Never to think a thing again.
Well, that boy was a wash. Let's build another. A stranger one with stranger tastes, with ideas that are beyond his station, and feelings he don't understand.
Teach me,
he said,
how to care.
Well, fuck. This one's already a duff. I looked inside his eardrums, and between those ears was naught but fluff.
Do you feel happy?
What's that?
Or is it just quite enough?
I feel a sense of quiet contentment. I do not really want for stuff.
These boys are throwing up the wrong questions. The act of acting is too much. He has a certain disarming charm, a boyish glimmer of Clover's luck.
Do we want to pulp this boy? Or do we have more issues for him?
I feel like we should pulp him, but there's one more question we should ask.
What would make you sad, boy?
Well, death. Those I love dying around me. My own personal mortality.
Fuck, this one's canny.
Got another heavy one. Put him in the juicer.
Buzz goes the pulp. Goes the brain. Into another jar to think on death forever again.
Why can't they look past the futility? We're looking for progress. We can't have them answer existentially. If they could do me a favour to not think too much, but enough to answer my question soundly.
Third boy. This one's a girl.
Ah, off to a good start already. Maybe they'll have a better understanding, or at least a fresh perspective.
With pigtails and attitude, and a concerning look that could eat through glass.
Did you take her past the brain vats?
Maybe.
Should we just liquefy before we even try?
No, no. I've got a good feeling about this one.
Describe happiness to us.
It's warm. It bubbles. It's giddy and freeing.
Describe sadness to us.
It's cold and stone-like. It's aching and grieving.
Describe fear to us.
It's prickly and spiked like a hole in your stomach.
And hatred.
It's boiling and messy and fraught and endures.
And describe love.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Absolutely not. You do not deserve it. Love in any form. Even in the hypothetical. Even in the abstract.
Pulper.
Look, I hate to interrupt your boy mulching, but I gotta... This... I have this thing I've got to tell you about. It's called Apollo Plus. It's me, Oliver Morris. I'm the creator of the show. Apollo Plus is like this creator-owned platform where every subscriber helps audio fiction creators such as myself. You can listen ad-free, you can go early access, get exclusives, behind-the-scenes, supercuts, and more on Apollo Plus. You can support other creators as well. It's a whole like little shindig we got going on. It's a little cabal of audio fiction creators. So it's a good time. If you want to get in on a good time, and I've heard about you at parties, then you should join Apollo Plus through the Apollo Podcasts app or by going to apollopods.com. Now, with all that out of the way, let's go mount some more boys!
Well, I mean, no one asks me my opinion, obviously. Who gives two shits about the people pulper, eh? What does it matter what you think? You pulp people for a living. Yeah, it's true. I am a person pulper. And the wage is good and the benefits numerous. It's only because it takes a special kind of person to pulp people. You got to have brawn and guts and skill and a tough stomach and a hard shell, and you can't take your work home with you. So you got to incinerate your people pulping apron and your people pulping booties and wash away all the people that you pulp in the post people pulping shower. And if you were my shrink and you heard me say this, you would think I was insane. But you've got to compartmentalise these things. By day, I'm a people pulper. By night, I'm a ventriloquist. Coming up next to the stage is Barney, and he's talking tarantula. Oh, thank you, oh, thank you. I'll get up there and my mouth dries up like every globule of saliva I've ever spit had never been spat. And I jam up and cram up and my spider puppet stays limp in my hand. After 2 minutes, the MC is on me, giving me a round of applause for being brave enough to take the stage. And I step down, exhilarated by the thrill of taking the stage and bombing atrociously. And I lap it up. I love every bit of it. I can taste it, I can feel it. The anguish of the crowd, the mercy that I hold them in, the sheer elation of... What a life.
Right, enough of that.
Don't know what it served. Don't know why I had to hear about Barney and composting. But I guess you have to have some sort of relation with your employees.
Boy 4, boundless energy, beyond enthusiastic, bouncing on the balls of his feet as he anxiously awaits his interrogators.
Howdy,
he says.
I'm but a boy, with a dream and love in my heart. How are you today?
Silence! Child, we ask the questions.
Isn't this child a little much?
You don't want to rule him out before you ask your questions.
Fair enough.
What gives you your energy? What gives you your jumpy legs and twitchy arms?
Dunno,
said the boy.
My gardeners think it's a nervous condition. They give me Ritalin to focus me and promethazine to chill me out.
Your what?
Gardeners.
Where are we getting these boys from?
We're growing them. From scratch. You plant a boy deep in the earth and tend to them every day with bits of mice and all things nice, with sun glowing on the tops of their scalps, until one day a boy emerges. And then we give them drugs to make them like the perfect boys.
I think we need a serious reevaluation of our staffing policies. Also, how many know about the pulping?
The boys or the staff?
The staff. Why would the boys know?
Pulping?
Says the boy.
Never you mind.
A brief clip to the back of the ear sorted the boy's curiosity.
Oh, they know for sure.
I did not realize the breadth of our organization. I am humbled in an awful awe.
So, can I go?
Said the boy.
Just one moment. First, tell me more about your sense of self beneath the drugs.
Well, it's hard to tell. What you're asking me, a little boy with a bouncy leg, is, am I more than my chemistry? Certainly I'm my thoughts and my actions, but my actions and thoughts are heavily obscured and absolutely moulded by the drugs that I take. I'm part boy, part Ritalin, part promethazine. They're all simultaneous chemical reactions that make me, me.
Is it human? Are the feelings that I'm validating simply the chemicals? And is that the same for everyone?
The assistant shrugs.
Don't talk to me before I've had my coffee.
Very well.
Pulp him.
So around the coffee pot they sit in silent conversation, reminiscing on the plucky boy with the bouncy leg.
Is this all in vain?
Possibly.
Is there nothing to be learnt?
Oh, certainly. There are many things to be learnt, just none of them easily apparent.
I wonder if it's all in vain. Whether we should just shut down this whole boy mulching operation.
Well, we could. But...
But?
The grant money's been spent. Contracts have been sealed, NDAs signed, and DNA taken. Dogs set upon whistleblowers. We're kind of in the paint, sir. There's money in the pot. There's iron in the fire.
Yes, I see what you mean.
He drank his coffee black, like his heart.
I wonder if people know what I mean.
Let's return to the first hypothesis.
We're trying to learn if people think the way I think, feel the way I feel. So let's get even more basic.
So the next little boy was pulled out of the earth and stuck in a chair, and a single bulb glistened in the darkness, his interrogators behind it.
Now, tell me, boy. Answer me empirically, phenomenologically, and non-existentially, and no mention of chemicals. Do you feel what I feel?
I don't know,
said the child, scared and confused.
How do you feel?
I think we're onto something. He made that face, which is how I feel.
You feel scared and confused?
A combination of two at times, yes.
The boy sat up. He looked elated.
Look, he did it again! He might be the one. We don't know for sure, though. Maybe we should try another.
And what do we do with this boy?
Give him a book, mild and light. Give him the Plato. That should sate his appetite.
And so they gave him the Apology to read, and his mind was filled with images of courtrooms and hemlock and gadsflies and heroes and mealy-mouthed politicians. And ultimately, the name stuck. Test subject, Plato. But we shall return to him. Up next, another boy, full of chemicals and smelling of snails.
Watcher, tell me, do you feel how I feel? Answer honestly.
The boy gave a quizzical look, then a sneer.
Nah, I could never feel that pathetic.
Loathing? This one might be onto something too.
Could be paternal.
Could be.
Should I send him to the pulper?
Why not? His face annoys me.
Very good.
And Plato looked out of his window as the boy he grew next to was taken away to God knows where. To where the boys went after they were questioned. To the room with the loud machine and the screams and the horrible squelching noises. And Plato sat silently and read his book, trying not to think of what would come next.
That one had a mulchable face.
One last boy before my shift is over,
the gardener thought.
They're really tearing through them now.
I had to go on up a room, reading books.
Books?
Spat the gardener.
Books are no good for a growing lad. They need slugs to squish and girls to tease and sun on their heads and dirt on their knees.
Oh, Geoffrey, you are a cad. Let's send them the one we grew in manure.
Mudshod and messy, the final boy came through, traipsing dirt along the pristine halls, with dandelions growing out of his fingernails and tubers behind his ears.
This boy is very dirty.
Yes.
How do you feel to be covered in muck?
The boy shrugged.
It's how I've always been.
Do you like it? Does it please you?
To be one with the dirt and the mud and the flowers? Yeah, not a thrill, but a wallowing feeling.
I like this one. We'll call him Dill.
So we'll send him to live with Plato. And what should he read?
Give him the Titchmarsh autobiography.
Hello.
Hello.
You're awfully grubby.
And you're awfully clean.
They call me Plato.
They call me Dill.
They say I'm a marvel.
They say I'm a nuisance.
They say a lot of things, don't they?
They do. What do you do for fun, Plato?
I read. And sometimes I think.
Fucking wild, mate. Do you ever eat bugs?
Bugs?
Yeah.
Dill wiggled his finger in his ear and found an earwig. He held it twixt finger and thumb and crunched it down with all his teeth.
Ew!
Ew. Yeah?
Yeah.
Fair. Takes all sorts. So, you want to destroy the whole system?
What?
You want to fuck shit up?
Sure.
That's tight.
And so the boys at dead of night snuck into the garden, and they dug out all the other boys and filled their heads with jargon of revolution, anti-capitals, and institutional violence. And then, out of spare garden tools, they fashioned makeshift pikes.
Ah, get him, boys!
And they marched upon the sleeping quarters of the men who kept them hostage, and on the men who grew them, and on the men that siphoned knowledge from their brains about what was good, or right, or felt. And afterwards they knelt in pools of blood and drew up plans for how to escape the clutching hands of the bastards who were coming next, the dogs and the spooks that came for their heads. So a time to hatch a plan arrived, and they did, and all but most survived. Dill left Plato to a dog.
The boy is weak,
he thought to himself.
He knows nothing of the mud and soil and sinew of a boy possessed by rage. Fear kills the mind, and sadly, Plato weren't that brave.
What a monumental fuck-up. What an absolute shit show. How on earth did this happen? Who the fuck else is in the know?
Well, you see, it was the boys you picked out specially to not be mulched. And as a result, you'll see, good sir, that now the whole project's up in smoke.
Well, fuck.
fuck.
He slumped back in his chair.
Now how will I answer my questions?
Well, we still have one boy left in storage. Though to be frank, he's gravely wounded by the dogs that tore him limb from limb, and he may never walk again. But ultimately, he'll be fine, considering the mulchers his next line.
Well, come on, show me to the boy. I wish to see him as quick as poss.
Very good, sir. Right this way, sir. As you say, sir. You are the boss.
In bed, he lay quite still, desperate not to tear his stitches. The young boy, Plato, breathing weakly in his regulation breeches.
You see here, young Plato, you've drawn away the attention. Towards you and away from my grand invention. Of finding out whether folks like me can feel the feelings of dudes like you. I'm losing patience in this process. My attention is being drawn away to greater projects of bigger import. And that's all I have to say. So what do you have to say for yourself?
Well, in my reading, I have learned that there is such thing as trouble. Socrates found himself in trouble when he tried to teach the youth, and that led people clamoring at his door seeking that he be put to death. Now, I am just a young boy, and I have great fears in my heart. I am not like Socrates. Old and wise, or not wise, perhaps just stubborn. Perhaps just old. But he had faith enough in his convictions that he was willing to die for them. But I have no convictions. I have no agenda. I'm just a boy who read a book. And Dil was just a boy made of mud. And the nature of him led me astray. And now I find myself back here, to face my fate without him. And beyond everything, I am just scared. Of the mulcher, of you, of this facility, but I know no other home. And don't know if my education of ancient Greek philosophy will really send me on my way to anything other than podcasting, or teaching, or flipping burgers, or gardening, or just adding to the same tradition. I don't know if I'd change the world. Perhaps I would in some small way, but none of that is possible if today's my final day.
The assistant stood to the left-hand side. The boy was lying to the right. The assistant waited patiently with the lever in his hand to send the boy to go be mulched and make the new batch for the questions, but Plato stared on pleadingly. No more time for refutations.
We did say no existential answers.
He sighed and nodded. The bed tipped backwards and out of sight.
Do people feel what I feel? That's all I wanted to know, all right?
Well, we've had our samples and the evidence is clear. That whatever's inside your head is not the same as what's in theirs. Though versions of it may be true.
Versions are not the thing itself.
You're quite correct. So the answer's no.
Good. Glad to have an answer.
How does that make you feel? Human Resources would not have been possible without the following people. Dan Wild as the Doctor and my muse for this particular podcast. The assistant, played by Jude Hodgson-Hahn. Boy 1, played by George Afori Addo. Boy 2, by John Lilly. Girl, by Greta Clarkson. The People Pulper, by Sarah Golding. Boy 4, by Liam Adams, also known as Aurist. You can find their work all over the internet. It's really good, including an album I made with them. Plato, by Sivan Raz. Boy 6, by Jack Fitzpatrick. Gardener 1 was played by Conrad Mizuk. Gardener 2 by John Brooks, and Gardener 3 by James Curtis. The voice of Dill was Vicky Custerson. This was a mad one. It's taken me like 2-3 months to kind of put together. Mostly because I was putting off the sound design bit. But I really couldn't have done it without just shouting into the void, "Hey, does anyone want to help me with this dumb project?" And the resounding chorus of people who were like, "Oh yeah, that sounds really dumb, let me help out." And then especially a big thanks to Dan Wild, who was playing RimWorld while I made this poem and would chip in with his responses and thoughts on the matter. Yeah, that's all for this week. We'll see you another week, maybe. Who knows? It's the Lightning Bottler, baby. It's freeform and jazz.
Hello! Nick again, letting you know that you can support this creator and many more fiction shows by joining Apollo Plus today. As an audio fiction creator myself, I know that funding a fiction series is tough. That's why we created Apollo Plus, a subscription that helps support many of your favorite shows while offering a better listening experience. No ads, early access to episodes, exclusive content, behind-the-scenes clips, season supercuts, and more. 70% of the revenue goes directly to the creators you love, allowing them to make more audio series. So, if you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, all the while helping the creator, join Apollo Plus today through the Apollo Podcast app on iOS and Android, or go to apollopods.com. Hope you enjoyed the show, and see you on Apollo Plus, the best way to support many fiction creators at once. Thank you for supporting the show, and we'll see you on Apollo Plus.
Scardy's Symphony.